You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm here today with an extra special edition of our show to close out our week. I'm actually here with two comrades, some of the absolute best people in the movement. One of them, is a regular contributor to our show, Mr. Jason Augustus, our propaganda director, and of course, the lead singer behind 14 Sacred Words. Today, I have a very exciting show because we have on the line Commander Jeff Scoop of the National Socialist Movement, a man who we're going to be able to hear his testimony as to his time in the movement and where things are going. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, one of the most important things is, of course, the dedication to our cause. And Commander Scoop is a man who has been fighting this fight longer than I've been alive. Not to make him feel old, he's not old by any means, but his dedication to our cause is one that should inspire all of us. A man who's put himself out there, who has faced off against the Reds in the streets, has fought for our people, a man that all of us, if you don't know, should know, and one who inspires me and should inspire every one of my listeners. So we're going to start by bringing you in, Commander. So first of all, how are you doing today?
Really good, Matt, and thank you for having me on the program this evening and the nice introduction there. It really is an honor.
Oh, well, I'm so happy to be able to have you here. And Jason, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Matt.
I'm doing good. All right. So we're going to kick off, Commander, with you with some questions, because I mentioned on my show earlier in the week that I was going to have you on, and we got some great comment and feedback back about people that were saying that they're excited that we're working together and that you're going to be here. So there's already a built-in group of men and women that are excited to hear, but for those who might not know, all of your work, it's a very, very long resume you've done for our cause, but for the uninitiated, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got in the movement and your position within the National Socialist Movement?
Oh boy, that could be a longer show actually, but we'll try to summarize it. I got involved in the struggle, started reading up on the subjects of National Socialism and white nationalism, at a really young age, and looked for an organization to join, and actually got involved around the time, I'd say I was probably about 17 when I first got involved in the movement, and that's been, been involved for about 25 years now. So, that gives people an idea of how old I actually am, but we've been in this fight for a long time, and really, being in this struggle is something that I see as it's not a hobby, it's not about how you dress or anything like that. It's a way of life, and it's more than anything, it's a duty to our people and our folk, to be involved in this. You've seen so many, I'm sure you guys have seen it as well. I mean, there's people that come and go all the time in this struggle, and they're here now, gone tomorrow, or they're around for a year or so and then they're gone, and they say they're retired or whatever it is. I always tell people, and they say, well, how do you manage to stay in this long, with infighting and some of the setbacks and all the things that we face, and more worse than anything is some of the pressure from the system and those out there that hate us. But, really what you got to do is sort of like being in a boxing match. You got to roll with the punches. You got to get back up and you got to keep swinging. And if you believe in this cause and this is something that you stand for, you claim you believe in, there is really no retirement out of it. You're in this fight for life and you're in it until, victory or death, basically. That's the way you have to look at it. And there's so many of our forefathers and martyrs and people that went before us, men that are rotting away in prison, like the Order, men like Matt Hale. I like to go on and on, but there's so many people that have sacrificed so much more than any of us could ever imagine. It's just a small part for us to keep doing what we're doing and staying involved and staying active in this. So it's been a long time, and I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. That's the plan, and it's an honor to be able to work with a good comrades in the Traditionalist Workers Party and so many other groups out there as well, Really, it's a great honor, and it's an exciting time to be alive and involved in this struggle right now, too, because we're seeing a lot of changes coming in this country, and pretty exciting times.
Oh, well, I agree wholeheartedly. It's, you know, it's an exciting time because nationalism is on the rise everywhere in the entire planet, and it's on the rise, of course, here in the United States. And, you know, it's an important thing to be able to see that that we're making great strides. We're following in the example of the Europeans and of other movements and bringing things together. So, of course, you know, you've been leading the National Socialist Movement for years, doing street demonstrations, getting out there, defending yourselves. Of course, many people probably remember the video from the Battle of Trenton, I believe it was, when the Reds attacked you and you drove them off. So, you know, you're a man that, you know, you're as a dedicated National Socialist, you're a political organizer, and your organization is a political organization, but it's also one that is willing to face off against the enemy, but at the same time engage our communities. One thing I wanted to talk about is community service. And I know the National Socialist Movement has adopted many different highways across the United States to be able to help beautify, you know, our communities and to be able to show that we're dedicated in making, you know, our communities a more beautiful place. So is that something, you know, that maybe you could talk on for just a little bit on the public service element and how the NSM has, of course, been attacked by the media? You have, there are sections of highway that haven't been adopted, aren't being taken care of. The NSM is there to be able to volunteer, and you've even been fought from trying to do a public good for everybody. So, what really drives you in doing that sort of community service?
Well, you know, it's about giving back. You know, it's like there's a motto, and I know the Klan uses it, but it's called "Non Silba Sed Anthar." It means not for self, but for others, and I think that really says a lot. You know, about our struggle and where we come from, and just to wind back just a little bit too, you know, some of the roots of the National Socialist Movement, our roots go back all the way to originally to Commander George Lincoln Rockwell. You know, after Commander Rockwell was assassinated, you know, the group broke into a few different factions, you know, and the only factions that have direct ties to Commander Rockwell that still exist today are the New Order and the National Socialist Movement. You know, those are the only two. The rest are different people picked up the names and things like that, but those are the only two organizations that actually have direct ties to the movement of Commander George Lincoln Rockwell. So I was fortunate in that sense to be able to have been mentored by men that served with Commander Rockwell, you know, and learn sort of the tactics and some of the things that they had done over the years and see from some of the mistakes, learn from the mistakes and be able to set the movement on a course for the future as well. So, I mean, when we go back to the your media question about public service, it's just one way that the cause can give back, you know, is to be able to, keep our streets clean. And this is something that, indeed, you know, it's something that we've been fought on and we'll continue to fight on and move forward into the future.
Jeff, I actually had a question for you. I've been involved in this, you know, for like 15 years. I started off as a skinhead, but I never really got too deep into the political end. I knew about NSM, but I was kind of more into like the skinhead culture, for lack of a better description. What was it like being politically active as a National Socialist in America, and what have you seen change in that time?
Well, you know, I came up through the skinhead scene as well, but I've always been a National Socialist. So, I mean, it kind of went hand in hand, but it really varies. You know, some skinheads are really devout National Socialists. Some are more nationalists. Some are less political and more social type of groups and organizations. It really kind of varies between different crews and things like that. You know, you'd almost have to ask each, you know, at, you know, different crew, which, you know, what ideology they adhere to. But as far as the changes, I think there's been a lot of changes because, you know, back 20-something years ago, I mean, back in those days, you know, you still had skinhead crews that were going out and, I don't know if we should talk about it on the radio, doing things that were a little more colorful than the kind of things that would get people. The hate crimes charges were just starting to come out around that time, and a few years after I'd gotten involved in the struggle, and all of a sudden you see what normally would get a guy, you know, a fist fight in a bar would get a guy a night in the drunk tank, or a night in jail or disorderly conduct, now all of a sudden it's a 7-year hate crime enhancement. And, you know, so that's probably the biggest change I could see is the way the system has sort of cracked down on us. You know, not to say that, you know, one should go out and start fights in bars or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that, you know, at one time a fight was just a fight. You know, now all of a sudden if it's a non-white or a homosexual or someone of a specific religion or something like that you get into a fight with, all of a sudden it's a hate crimes charge. So, you know, these are things that you're seeing young men and women that are, especially our young men, that are being locked up for many years for these sort of things, and it really kind of destroys their lives. So that's something I'd like to see, you know, repealed in this government is those sort of enhancements. You know, crime is a crime, but, you know, a fist fight ending up as a 7-year prison sentence in a hardcore prison is really disgusting and wrong.
I totally agree. And of course, we know the double standard that's so clearly applied, that these rules and laws, things that might not even involve racial politics, you have just everyday white men that you know, might get into a fight, even just defending themselves, defending their wives, defending their friends. But this system is so biased against us. And, you know, this is coupled with the media onslaught. It's coupled with the brainwashing of our children. Everything goes together as they've really tried, I think, to break the will of our people. That if they make it that you can't even defend yourself, I mean, you question if, you know, if you can even defend one's own life without the system cracking down. Like our comrades in Europe, I think if Hillary Clinton is elected, we might face, for instance, you know, hate speech charges, incitement to racial hatred. You know, I was banned from the UK and things like that. And, you know, I know many comrades over in Europe that have done time for the things that we consider freedom of speech, talking about historical events, revisionism, or just telling the truth about historical events can get you thrown in prison. So I think folks need to understand for us what's happening. This is a slow but steady, it's like boiling the frog, but this is repression on all forms of nationalism, even for whites that aren't political. There's a war on all of us. So I think you're 100% right on that the system has been increasing. It's kind of totalitarian, of course, for the left perspective on doing anything they can to try and attack, especially young white men and women, even if they're not part of the racialist cause, even if they're not nationalists, trying to really just kind of break their spirit.
And that's exactly what it is. I mean, you said it. It's all right there in a nutshell. I can think of a one case from a few years ago, and this was involving a guy that had nothing to do with the movement. He was some sort of high school football coach, and it jogged my memory because you were talking about defending one's wife or something. Somebody attacked his wife, a black person attacked his wife, and he got into it and grabbed the guy and threw him down and called him, I don't know if we can say it on the radio, so I'm just going to say the N-word. And basically, he was arrested for defending his wife. This is somebody that has no nationalist ties. He's just a regular guy at some high school football game that was that got into it. He was a coach or something, and this made the news. So, I mean, that's just one example, but this is the sort of thing that's happening all across the country. And I like your analogy there about the frog boiling in the water. If Hillary Clinton gets in, I think she's going to try to enact laws like what we're seeing in Europe. And I'm banned from England as well, and Canada and a number of other places, you know, just for basically speaking out and doing what we see here as basically freedom of speech. So over there in a lot of these places, it's even more repressive than what we have here. So, I mean, that's a sign of things to come, and that's the way these globalists would like to see our struggle go, because they hear it that much, that anything that bucks the system, that goes against them, they see as a viable threat, and they will not hesitate to stomp us out if they think they can.
I totally agree, and you know we're gonna have to start a club because you and a lot of other great comrades I know being banned from the UK is you know, I see that as a mark of honor, because they understand that we're peaceful, we're legal, law abiding citizens that are advocating that our people have a right to exist. This radical idea that the lands that we settled, the lands of our ancestors, belong to our children. They know that they can't argue against us, so they have to try and stop our speech. They have to try and make it impossible for us to be able to get this message out. But thank God for the internet and our ability to be able to reach people all around the world. It's very exciting. And speaking of outreach, this is something that I think is so important, and you are the one that has been leading this. And you know, the idea of movement unity, it's something that's been talked about for a long time, but it's never really held together, unfortunately. And I think that's been unfortunate, but I think things are changing. And I think the way that you've gone about it is different. And you know, this is why I think we saw, you know, when the Aryan Nationalist Alliance was created, that you, of course, were the one that was the spear point on that. The media had to come out, and they attacked it. They attacked it. They said, oh, it'll never stay together. Oh, it'll never stay together. No, it won't work. But it's only growing. So can you tell us a little bit of something that scares the system so much and is so good for our people and for our movement? Can you tell me a little bit about the what made you, you know, really see that nationalist unity in America? This was the time. What drove you to that?
Well, it's something that's been a vision of mine ever since, you know, I was 18 or 19 years old. And I actually, at that point, I tried something that I called the United Patriot Front around the age of 19 or 20 or somewhere around that age, and tried to get it going and just didn't have the it just didn't happen. It just, you know, it seemed like it worked for a second, and then it kind of sputtered, and then just lost traction. And other people have tried it as well. I mean, that was things back in the 70s. There was the White Confederacy. There was there was another National Socialist type of I can't think of the name right now, but back in the 70s there was a few attempts at doing this, and probably in the 80s and 90s as well. And a lot of sincere and good people have tried to broker a peace between the organizations and get everybody on the same page and working together. And it's just, you know, it's been one failure after another. And honestly, I mean, I completely gave up on that whole idea for a really long time. And I got to the point where I wasn't even interested in really contacting other groups to invite them out to events anymore, because it just seemed like a dead end street. There was too much infighting. There was too much, well, we don't like this guy, or this person's involved in this group, or this person, you know, took this guy's girlfriend. You know, basically, you don't have to elaborate on that, but, you know, you understand that sort of mentality. So basically, you know, coming together once again here in 2016, I thought, you know, now seems to be the time. It's getting to this point in our struggle where it's going to be too late for our people if we don't all band together. The United States is a big country. We're spread out all over the place, and there's all these different organizations. There's little groups here and there. There's individuals out there that, you know, that do think like we do, but they're not all on the same team. So basically, the idea was, is with the Aryan Nationalist Alliance, was I wrote up the original document and basically said, and Matt, you know, I know you helped on you put together a lot of the expansion on that, which was fantastic. And you know, for those out there that don't know, you know, that's Matt's writing out there on that whole further elaboration on it. But the original document that I put out and brought to our national meeting in April in Georgia was basically saying that all the groups that would be part of this, there would be no necessarily person running it that's in charge, bossing around the other groups or anything like that. There wasn't going to be necessarily votes cast or things of that nature, but basically it was just a general agreement. My original thinking was just a general agreement that we will all work together, we will come together when we can, when we are able to support each other, and that we will not engage in infighting, because we've seen so much of this, especially on the internet, where groups are, even groups that have splintered into different factions, will just be going at each other on the internet, and our enemies pick up on that, they make fun of it, they laugh at it, they say, look at how weak these guys are, they're all fighting amongst each other. So I wanted to somehow put a stop to that. You know, we didn't have that going on in the National Socialist Movement, but I've seen it with other groups. I thought, if I can somehow, you know, inject myself into this situation and stop this and get everybody to understand that this is going to help all of us, this is going to be something, and it's not even about helping all of us, but helping our people and getting past this point where we can actually accomplish things together. And the way I spelled it out and gave the speech on it, it was that basically, we all need to be part of this. We need to overlook each other's flaws or whatever it is that we don't like about different groups. You know, in part of this alliance, we've got groups that are very, very different. You even have traditionalist clan organizations. You've got skinhead groups. You've got National Socialist groups, you've got nationalists, you've got people of all different political backgrounds that are saying, well, we might not all agree on the same thing. We all agree that we're in this struggle for our people, and it's long past that hour where we can start bickering over these small things. We have to just say, we all need to work together, hands down, and all this other stuff. And unless somebody's a straight-out informant, you know, or something like that, that's different. You know, you shouldn't work with anybody that's an informant.
There's definitely a lot of differences in all of our various groups, and that could definitely contribute to what you said, infighting. But what do you think has actually divided our movement, in your opinion, even beyond that?
Well, that's a great question, and I can tell you it's personalities. It's people's personalities and their petty differences, and in some cases, you know, we've seen where everybody wants to be the big fish in the small pond, where they don't want to work with another group because they're worried that this group's going to steal their members or something like that, and they're going to fight over membership dues money or, you know, finances or some sort of, you know, perceived power. But, you know, usually what it comes down to is personalities, where someone will say they don't like this person and start a crazy rumor about them, you know, call them a Jew or whatever else it might be, make up some kind of story and just run with it.
Yeah, well, the personalities, I think, are definitely a huge issue, an absolutely huge issue within our movement. I think you're totally right about that. So, you know, with the, you know, moving forward, you have gone ahead and the National Socialist Movement, I'm very excited to be able to be there on November 5th. Tell us about, because I want our listeners, those who are in the Pennsylvania area, need to be there on November 5th. Tell us a little bit about what is coming up on November 5th. Tell us a little bit about the rally and really the aim of what the National Socialist Movement, of course, the Traditionalist Worker Party is going to be there, and local nationalists are going to be there as well. Tell us a little bit about this rally.
Well, the November 5th rally is going to be our national rally for November of this year. It's going to be at the state capitol there in Pennsylvania, and we like to urge anybody that's out there, even if you're unaffiliated, you know, and you're interested in this struggle, you know, get in touch with us, get in touch with local group organizers in the area. If we can meet you and verify you and all that kind of stuff, you know, you're going to be welcome to come to this event, you know. And if you're with another organization that we already know, you know, get out there, come out there and participate. You know, we need a mass mobilization for this thing, and we need to continue to get out there. Political change is made through the streets, you know. Being on the internet and promoting things there is good, and passing out flyers and promoting music and video games and all the other different things that we're engaged in are all good tactics. But political change, real change, has always been made through the streets historically. So we need you to get out there. And anybody that's concerned about being seen on camera or being seen by you know, whoever is out there, you know, you can throw on a hat and sunglasses, you know, and come out there and you know, get involved. It's important.
Well, it's so much fun. I mean, you know, I was able to go, and I really appreciate, you know, back in, oh golly, was that 2013, I think? I got to go and speak at the rally that you guys held in Kansas City, and it was so much fun, and it's getting to meet people that some of who I knew through the internet, other guys that I knew, you know, I met up with there, and then meeting new friends. I mean, you know, what we're doing politically is so important, and we're making changes, and we're growing, and things are dynamic, and it's so exciting. But, you know, just on a personal level, you know, I met my wife actually at American Renaissance, at a conference, and, you know, I met some of my best friends, comrades, who are my basically like my family at these rallies. And so the political aspect is so important. But I really think when it comes to, of course, you were talking about movement unity, that one of the most important things is getting to meet people in real life. That, you know, all the things that go on the internet, all the infighting, all the name-calling, all the half-truths and outright lies sometimes, that doesn't happen when you're sitting there having, you know, marching next to a comrade that you know, that you have, your life is in their hands, and vice versa. That loyalty, that responsibility, like modern-day Spartans coming together, and then afterwards getting to fellowship with one another. I think that's so important, that social aspect, you know, we're attacked by this system, but our principles are normal. Nationalism is normal, natural, and healthy, and being part of a community is normal, natural, and healthy. So, you know, what are your thoughts on the community aspect? Because I can honestly say I don't think I've ever met someone at an event that then I've had a problem with in the future. Like, when you get to meet people in real life, you get to really feel who they are, you get to know them, and you usually make friendships out of it, and it's one of the best ways to be able to avoid infighting and then plug yourself in, especially if you're unaffiliated with a group. Go out and meet a variety of different groups, see what fits what you want, and then be able to meet the other groups that then you can work with in the future. Let's talk a little bit about that social aspect, and what role do you think it plays about getting to actually meet people in real life? Do you think that's a positive part of our movement? Because, it's something that I think has really impacted us. You know, I met you at a rally, and now, we've been working together, and we're doing great stuff, and our members are doing great stuff and know each other and are working together. So let's talk a little bit about the role of the social aspect, you think.
Oh, you're 100% correct. I mean, the social aspect of it is just like you said. It's so important, I think, and it's a great opportunity for people. You know, now, especially in this internet age, you know, I mean, I don't know how many people that you come across will say, I've never met anybody involved in it. You know, I'm just on Twitter or Facebook or VK or whatever they're on, or different forum boards, and they have not really met too many people in real life. So it's the social aspect is very important. And also, like you said, you know, I mean, really, as far as not getting along, I couldn't tell you how many times over the years where I've been at different functions and I've met people and they've come up and said, and I'm sure you've went through this too, where they've come up and said, man, I've heard so much crap, you know, about you, that you're such a bad person and all that, or that this, you know, your organization's full of terrible people. Everybody I met here is like completely solid and I'm so glad I came, because everything I heard wasn't true, because there's just so much backbiting and a silliness that goes on a lot of times online. So when they actually get to meet some of these people in real life, say, hey, this person really isn't, what I heard, or this person really is sincere. So I think you can tell a lot about somebody, too, by meeting them. You know, you might not get, you know, their whole personality down, but a lot of times actually meeting somebody, you can see if they're sincere and just get that feeling about them that they're there for the right reasons, you know, and the social aspect is very important. And there's not a million events going on all the time either. So, you know, these are important when there is stuff going on, especially if it's in your area. I mean, there's people that'll travel all across the country to come to things. But if there's something in your area, you know, unless you're in the hospital or you tried to take off work and you couldn't get off work for some reason, you know, you need to be there. That's as simple as that. I mean, if you care about this cause and the struggle, you know, don't just sit online and talk about it. You know, if it's not you, who's it going to be? You know, I mean, we can't do this all by ourselves. We need you out there.
Well, exactly. You know, movements move. That's such an important thing, that movements are based on action. And as you said, that every political revolution comes from street action, because, you know, there's so many different elements that go into it. One, of course, generally, the media will cover it, so it gives us the ability to get our message out there to people that might not, go by the rally or see it. It lets us meet new people, promote cooperation between groups. There's the social aspect, bonding us together, and then it gives that energy, it gives that momentum, where then we can take that into our communities. Because, as you said, nationalism is not, it's not a hobby, it's an everyday occurrence. There's always someone at a gas station, someone at a diner, someone at your job, someone you can talk to be able to talk about nationalism, convert them to nationalism. You know, it's an everyday thing to be able to, be able to make nationalism real. And Jason, I think you had a question.
Yeah, I do. I've been designing some graphics along with your team, Commander, for the next stage of the Alliance. Would you want to tell the listeners about the next step of the Alliance?
Yes. And this is very exciting. And actually, guys, I'm glad you asked that, Jason. This is the first public forum, or the first chance that we're having to make this knowledge available to the public. So that's the big announcement that we're doing on the program here tonight, is we're going to be changing the name of the Area Nationalist Alliance to the Nationalist Front. And everybody, Jason here has been working on the graphics, and they look phenomenal. New banners, new patches eventually. Everything of that nature. We're trying to make, the idea behind that is to make things a little bit more inclusive, Aryan Nationalist Alliance was kind of a long name, and I know Matt and I talked about it back and forth about changing the name and different things like that, and to be a little bit more inclusive and a little bit, I think it's going to be more catchier, and definitely with the graphics program and everything that we're doing. Also, our website is going to be launched here really soon. It's really going to be an exciting time. So, there is going to be a slight change there, but, I think it's something that's in the best interest for everybody, and it'll, open up a lot of doors.
Well, and Commander, that's something that I think is so important, and I really want our listeners, to be able to hear, about that, you have been really a man that your entire life within the nationalist movement have always been interested in one thing and one thing alone. I know, I've talked to people that have known you for two decades, and they say the same thing. Even if they haven't seen you in years, people that are involved in the movement now, I can testify for this, that you are dedicated wholeheartedly to bringing our cause together and winning, because you're the sort of man that fights for our people and cares about our children. And it's such an inspiring thing to see, in a leader that's been doing this so long, that your energy is so dynamic, and you're singly focused on the best interests of, not just our movement, but our people in winning this fight. Let's talk a little bit about, because, people might have questions, and, I would just be a little curious that you were the one, I believe it was, it's less than 10 years, maybe 5 or 8 years ago, you were the one, I think, that spearheaded the change from the traditional brown shirts into, the black BDUs, the kind of more working class look. What really pushed you to make that change? Because, you've always been kind of working on the cutting edge to be able to better engage people and keep our movement current. And I think that's a really, really exciting thing that people should know, that you've been really fighting for this for a very long time. So can you talk to us about, honoring our heritage, but at the same time, always keeping up with the new technologies, the new styles, and the new tactics?
Right, and that, that change took place in April of 2008. We went from the NSM was still up until 2008. We were in the traditional brown shirt uniforms that from the Rockwell days, and coming across people, that would say, "Hey, I want to get involved. I want to join, but I'm not German." If one or two people ask you that, then you think, okay, maybe they're just a little ignorant or something. But when it's starting to be dozens and dozens of people asking that question, what is wrong with what we're doing here? This is not a German movement. I mean, a lot of us are German, of course, but, it's not a German movement. It's a white movement, So we're doing something that's incorrect here. Let's modernize. Let's bring this to into the next era. And then we switched to the black, which we still, the traditional uniforms we're still wearing once a year in a private meeting, to honor our founding fathers and on our heritage, as far as the organization goes back into the, into the old days. But publicly, no, we only wore the black BDU. So this is one thing, and when you do something like this, especially coming from a leadership standpoint, I mean, there's a lot of risks involved, especially when you're making radical change. I mean, you can lose people in the organization that don't see your vision or that don't see the reason why you're doing this. And I took some flack for it, from different corners in the organization, but we really didn't lose anybody over it. And, if you lose one or two people because, they're that stubborn or they don't see that, we need to move towards the future, then, they weren't in this for the right reasons anyway. So I'm not opposed to taking risks for the betterment of my people. And like you said, we had a conversation a couple hours before the program, and we were talking, and I said that exact thing. I'm in this struggle to win, and if we have to adjust, if we have to change things, even if it's things that, some people might not like, if we need to change things to win, for our people and to get people into office, to make our organizations more successful, then those are things that we need to do, and I'm definitely not afraid to do that, because I want to see this struggle come to fruition. I want to see victory for our folk.
And that's the sort of spirit, and the thing in an alliance, staking, my reputation, staking my organization's reputation, I am so proud to be able to stake my reputation alongside you, Commander, and the National Socialist Movement, and other organizations that we're working with that are dedicated only to fighting for the preservation of our people and a future for our people, that it's not about ego. It's not about, you know, it's about fighting for our children. And it's so important to be able to see people that are devoted to this cause for the right reasons. And that's why I'm so proud to be the chairman of an organization that wants to stand, you know, in solidarity on, in Harrisburg on November 5th, but for years to come until the victory. And then after the victory, we get to continue to build a new land for our people. It's so exciting. And you're really a man that inspires me. I'm not going to gush too much, but, I think it's important for our listeners to know that you're right. You're the sort of guy that takes risks. Your organization takes risks, and it's risks that are for the betterment of our people. That it's easy to stay stagnant, but, you know, if you're stagnant, you die. And being dynamic is so important, and you guys are always out there in the streets, in your communities, holding meetings, doing outreach. I think you guys have like 5 different radio shows that are available, you know, for people to listen to all around the world. I mean, it's so inspirational, and that's why I'm happy to be there. So as we come to the end of the program, you know, I think it's such an important thing. Jason, I'm going to ask you, you've been quiet today, but we're having such a great conversation. I want to ask you a final thought, on this discussion. Then I'm going to ask Commander Scoop a final thought.
Okay. It's an honor to be part of all of this. It's really great to see all the change that's been ushered in over the years, ever since when I was younger, just seeing it transform. It's night and day. And this alliance is definitely the most exciting thing I think I've seen in all my time. It's actually working. It's actually functioning. And just seeing the evolution of everybody, just seeing us moving forward, it's something that I'm excited to be a part of. And I can't wait to see what we manifest through it all.
Well, and that's for our listeners who are curious. I saw one of the comments, previously with people, and I was asking, you know, talk about the alliance. We're actually going to have a Nationalist Front website in time for our public debut publicly on November 5th. So stay tuned on that. And Commander, thank you again so much for being here. And I want to ask you, what's the final thought you want to give to our listeners as they finish out the rest of their day and then go into their weekend?
Well, my closing thoughts, it's been a great honor to be on the program, and Matt, I'm really excited to be working with the Traditionalist Workers Party, and you all. You've been a tireless, since you've been involved in this struggle, you've been tireless and getting out there and constantly putting yourself out there on the streets, and you know as well as I do that there's a lot of risk involved in that. And it takes a lot of bravery and courage. And that's one thing that I can say about why I'm so excited and happy to be working with your organization as well, is you and your people are out there in the streets. And that's something that we've seen a lot of organizations in the greater movement that just want to get together for social events, which social events are fine, but the streets is where it's going to happen. You know, or they just want to get together in on farmlands and do, you know, private events. Those are fine too. But if you're not in the streets, and you know, Traditionalist Workers Party and the NSM are very clearly understand this and are out there doing stuff. And I think that's what I've been trying to inspire people my entire life is to get out there, make political change. And it's such an honor to be working with you guys and all the other fine groups that are working with us in this Nationalist Front. Once again, it's exciting times, and thanks again for having me on the program. It's an honor, and anytime I'd be honored to come back. And as well, you're always welcome on our programs as well.
Well, thank you so much, Commander, and I'm excited. Again, everyone, be there if you're in the local area in Harrisburg on November 5th. We need to be able to stand together, and this is the beginning of a new era of white nationalism, where we have been building, we have been growing, and the time is now for our cause to come together, to fight for the best interests of our people, to stand united as brothers and sisters, and to be able to make sure that as great as 2016 has been, 2017 is going to be a year that's going to be remembered in the history books for the white nationalist cause and for our people. So, Commander, thank you so much for being here. Jason, as always, thank you for being here. And you, my listeners, thank you guys so much. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Make your travel plans now to be in Harrisburg, and I look forward to being back here on Monday with another edition of the Daily Traditionalist. So have a great weekend. Thank you, guys. And as always, hail victory.
You've been tuned into the Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.